I invite you to take the Bible with me, please, to the book of Jonah. We've been going through this book in this month of January because of the emphasis of it. And there's so much in here to learn and see, not only about Christ, but about the need of the world. So we're in Jonah chapter 1. We've only covered the first three verses. I hope you'll be with us through every verse. Such a great book to learn from. Jonah chapter 1, and we've arrived at verse number 4. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 4, we'll read down to verse 7. The Bible says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." God will bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Father, we thank you for the scripture. We know the word of God has power, and it's sharp. It cuts. It heals. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to every individual and meet the need in every life. Lord, may we receive encouragement where it is needed and rebuke also where it is needed. Help our hearts. Give us understanding through this thy holy word. And we'll praise you and thank you and give all the credit to you for what you do in our hearts for being together today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our narrative begins this morning in verse 4 about a storm that arises. You know, many times life does get rough. It gets rough just like a storm that is in a sea. But the question is, why? Why does life get rough? There are some things of life that are rough and some storms that occur just because it's God's will. Sometimes it's good for you. Sometimes it's just part of life. Sometimes it's for another reason. We know we can find another scenario with a ship that was in the middle of the sea with a storm, with another one sleeping in the boat that had a totally different reason, you see. And so just as Jonah is asleep, he's had a reason for why he's in this storm. Jesus Christ, as he was sleeping in the ship when the storm arose on the Sea of Galilee, was a far different reason. So all the storms of our lives, they're not all for the same cause. But why? Why is this storm arising? Well, the Bible says in verse 4, if you look at it again, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest." This storm has come because God sent it. This danger is approaching these lives and this ship because God ordered it to be so. Why did God order the danger? Why did God order the wind and the mighty tempest in the sea? And I would say this to you, that the price of disobedience is pretty high. The Bible lets us know in the previous verses, we've already preached about it, that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Two times, at the beginning of verse 3, at the end of verse 3, Jonah is trying to get away from God. He's trying to get away from the presence of God. He's trying to get away from the will of God. He's trying to get away from the commandment of God. He is in disobedience. And because of his disobedience, God sends a storm in his life. And it's not that God's a boogeyman or God's just bad or he's evil, but God's doing that to try to get Jonah in the right place of his life. And it's not just for Jonah's good. It's for someone else's good. You know what the problem is when someone disobeys God or gets out of the will of God or does whatever they do in contrast to what God's trying to get us to do? It doesn't just affect you. It affects somebody else. You know, somebody says, well, you know, it's a free country. I can do what I want to do. Yeah, well, you can, but it won't just hurt you. It'll hurt somebody else. Now, we don't have any record in the Bible that any of the other people on this ship have done anything wrong. We don't have any record that anybody else on this ship had disobeyed God or that God had even talked to them about anything. Now, we know the people on this ship had a great need because the mariners that the Bible talks to us about on this ship with Jonah, they're heathen people. They're pagans. They don't even know God. They have their own gods, little g. They're not aware of the God of the Bible. They're not aware of the true God. But there's one on that ship, Jonah, that has complete knowledge of all those things. And yet he has chosen to disobey the direct commands of God for his life. And the problem is that when he does that, he not only gets in a storm, but he puts not just himself in danger, but so many other people. And that's exactly what sin does. Sin is so terrible because it doesn't just affect you. It'll affect your kids. It'll affect your friends. It'll affect people in your church. It'll affect people that aren't even saved that watch your life. So the cause of this terrible storm is God sending it, but he's sending it because somebody disobeyed. And the Bible says, look at verse 4 again, but the Lord sent out a great wind of the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. Watch this now. So that the ship was like to be, what's the word?
Broken.
Broken. Broken. You know what we have today? We have broken lives. We have broken marriages, broken hearts, broken families, a broken society. Broken countries, broken children. We have a broken world. And you know where that broken world comes from? It comes from someone saying, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Now, maybe that brokenness affects someone else that didn't choose that, just like in this case. But nevertheless, somewhere down the line, the brokenness comes about because somebody would not be willing to do what God wanted them to do, and it broke everything up. Not just in the life of the one disobeying, but in the other lives as well. I tell you this morning, the world is in a storm. And it's in a storm because someone is disobeying. And many times that person is the very one that's supposed to be bringing the answer to the brokenness. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a man of God. Jonah was one that was supposed to be being used by God to heal the brokenhearted and help the need, and yet he's the one bringing the problem. You know, really, God's people are the answer to the problems of this world. We have the truth. We have the Savior. We have what's right. We have the message from God that'll set every man free. We have the truth. But you know what? If we don't do what God tells us to do, that message, nobody gets any help. And really, really, the fate of the world and the brokenness in lives, much of it rests upon the fact that we as God's people don't obey what God tells us to do. I don't know if you can recall the very words that were said to Aaron. Remember when he made the golden calf and Moses said, you know, what did you do? And he said, well, I just put the gold in and out came this calf, you know. I didn't ask for this. They wanted it. You know, it's not my fault. It just out came the calf. You know what the Lord says to Aaron? What Moses says to Aaron? He says this, you made these people naked. Now, Aaron didn't ask them to worship false gods. Aaron didn't ask them to bring the gold and throw it in there and make an idol. That wasn't Aaron's idea. But because Aaron didn't do what God wanted him to do, God says, it's your fault. It's your fault that they're dancing around the idol. It's your fault they're taking off all their clothes. It's your fault because you should have been the one to stand up and give them the answer for that problem. And the problem in Jonah chapter 1 and the problem of the storm is Jonah. It's not the heathen people. The Bible says the lot falls upon Jonah, verse 7. They said, whose cause? For whose, what reason? Why are we in this mess? And they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. It's him. Jonah even said as much. Look at verse 10. The Bible said in verse 10, Jonah 1 verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Watch it now. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Verse 12, look what Jonah says to them. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. Look at it now, verse 12. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. It's my fault. Now, it's not his fault that they worship false gods, but it was his fault that they were in the mess they were in and they didn't have an answer for their lives. No, it's not our fault today that the world lies in heathen darkness and paganism, but it's our responsibility to correct that problem instead of being the reason that it continues on in its brokenness. I have to say this. The reason that our country is in the bad shape that it is in is because the people of God have not been the witnesses and the examples and the messengers and the ambassadors and the light and the salt that they should have been for all these years. And the reason that the gospel hasn't gone farther in the world is not because of the heathen pagans. It's because Jonah, it's because God's people have not done God's command in taking the gospel to the whole world. It's our fault. I told somebody a long time ago, it is much better to win Muslims to Christ than have to fight them. What if God's people had done their job and invaded all those countries years and years ago with the gospel? A lot of times, you know, blame rests on us just not doing what we're supposed to do. How many times in a community have broken lives occurred, not just because of sin, but because somebody that knew better didn't stand up and say anything about it? Jonah is the cause of the storm. I don't know about you. I don't want to be the cause of anybody's storm. I don't want to be the reason that anybody perishes. These mariners, you know what they're going to say, the people on this ship? They said at the end of verse 6, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They said, we don't want to perish. Well, they're going to perish if Jonah doesn't get his act together. They're going to die. And their blood is going to be on his hands. And the world is going to perish. And the blood of the world will be on our hands if we don't obey the commands of God about it. That's why I say missions and worldwide evangelization, it's just not a good idea. It's the command of God and people perish if we don't do what God tells us to do. You know, that other man that was on that ship asleep, the Lord Jesus Christ, that other story. That storm was not his fault. Matter of fact, he was the answer for that storm. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ has borne the cause of the storms of this world. He's borne the blunt of it. He's taken the punishment for it. But in this story, no, it's Jonah's fault. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid. You know, when hardened mariners that have been on a ship all their lives and sailed the seas, when they get afraid, then something real serious is going on. And the Bible uses that phrase over and over again about them being afraid. Look at verse 10 again. I just read a moment ago. Verse 10. Then were the men, look at it, exceedingly afraid. You see that? Drop down to verse 16. Then the men, watch this, feared the Lord exceedingly. You see that? Can I say this, that fear is a proper motivation for you to go to God? The Bible says in the book of Jude, he says, you know, some have compassion making a difference, but he says, and others save with fear. pulling them out of the fire. You know why people don't get saved and they just carry on and their lives get broken? Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. Fear is the right motivation. Because the truth is that God did send the storm. And the truth is that they were going to die. And they have serious fear. And it's a good thing for them. But you know what's sad? There is somebody on the ship that's not afraid. And he's the one that should have been afraid. By the way, you see how that mirrors the story of Jesus, but it's just in a different way? Look at verse 9. When they start asking Jonah these questions, and we'll see this again tonight as we go keep going through this book. Verse 9, and he said unto them, this is Jonah talking, verse 9, I am in Hebrew, and I what? I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. You little hypocrite. These men are scared to death, and you're in the boat, and you say you're the one that's afraid of God? You're not afraid of God, or you wouldn't have disobeyed him like you did. Right? Jonah's got all the right words, but he doesn't have the right heart. And the mariners, they don't even know God. They're calling out to all these false gods. They don't even know the God of the Bible, but they're afraid of him. I tell you what, it's sad. It's sad when pagan people are more afraid of the Lord than we are. Now look, I do right because I love the Lord. Jesus has done too much for me to disappoint my Savior. He loves me too deeply, has sacrificed, he has filled my life. Just out of sheer gratitude, I want to do what he says. But I tell you what, that Bible says about the early churches in the book of Acts, that they were walking in the fear of the Lord. That's how God wants us to walk. You know why you do wrong? Because you're not afraid of God. You know why people get cross with other people? Because they're not afraid that God might do something if they get cross with each other. You know why we disobey? Because we're not afraid of this. You know why kids disobey their parents? They're not afraid of them. Growing up, I got my two here, you know. But growing up, you know, I disobeyed my parents. But I tell you what, it wasn't in front of them. You know what I'm saying? I'd been the most spiritual kid in the world, but I wasn't dumb. If dad told me to do something, and I'd have said, no, are you kidding me? That is a dream that never occurred. But now, wait a minute. We're always in the eyes of the Lord. We're always in his presence. He's always there. He always sees that. And if I would not directly disobey my parents because I'm afraid of the consequences, that tells me that a lot of God's people, like Jonah, do not obey the clear command and directive and will of God for their lives because they're just not afraid of the consequences. There's no fear there. Oh, I fear God. You know, well, that didn't really play out, Jonah, with how you're living. We ought to be afraid to do wrong. We ought to be afraid to hurt others. We ought to be afraid for our lives to be broken, for our decisions, our disobedience, to bring brokenness in someone else's life. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be a brokenness. I want to be a help. I don't want to be a hindrance. The terror of these men. The world is going to hell and the ship is going down while the backslider is not afraid and he won't repent. That's the whole sad thing about this story. He tells them, just throw me in the ocean. Well, how about you getting right? Wouldn't that be better? Instead of continuing the storm and continuing the brokenness and continuing the problem and continuing the misery and everybody else being put in danger, including yourself, why don't you just get afraid enough of God that you'll fall on your face and say, God, I'm sorry. But not Jonah. Because he says he's afraid of God, but he's not. He lied. Verse 5, watch what these mariners do. Look at their helplessness. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. You see, they're doing everything they can to try to fix the problem. You see that? I mean, they're throwing things off the boat. Just throw that out. It's almost the same picture that you find over there in Acts 27 that preached not long ago about, you know, Paul's in that storm, that great Euroclidean storm came about, and they start just throwing stuff off the ship so they can maybe guide it and get out of the storm. They are throwing, you know why? You know why they're throwing everything off the ship? Because it doesn't matter what you have if the ship's going down. And everything that seemed to be so precious and so important and so valuable, all of a sudden is not very important because our lives are in danger. And oh, if people would understand that their soul is in danger, and the things of this world that should grow vainly dim, because so many times the goods and the wares of life keep people's eyes off their need of Christ. And it doesn't matter what you have if your ship goes down. It doesn't matter what you have if you don't have God. It doesn't matter what you have if you don't have the assurance that Christ is your Savior. Just throw it overboard. Get rid of it. But these mariners crying everyone unto his God, they're helpless. They're all of that casting all that stuff aside is not getting them any closer to safety. You say, what is that picture of? Well, you know how a lot of times people get in trouble in their lives. So they try to start reforming their life and get rid of this and get rid of that. And you can get rid of everything you want to and try that reformation like the world talks about. But reforming your life and getting rid of things does not take away the problem. Only submitting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ can take care of the problem. And all the other little things you do to try to correct it, it just doesn't work. Look down there. Was it verse 12? No, it's verse 13. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Their best efforts, everything they could do, possibly do, could not correct it, could not save them, could not make them safe. And oh, how man today is trying to do everything he can do. He'll throw in every good work and every good deed and try to make reformation and change the life and do everything he can do. But it doesn't bring safety in the life. That sea will not stop roaring until there is a substitute that's thrown in for them. Do you see that? Those false God worshipers, they have no hope until Jonah is cast into that sea. They needed a substitute. They needed someone to bear that storm for them and to bear that punishment and to bear that load. And oh, what a grand gospel news that we have that Christ Jesus the Lord, He went into that depth for us. And He was 3 days and 3 nights there. He was my substitute. And it's not me trying to right my ship, amen. And it's not me trying to save myself. It's not me trying to reform my life or be religious enough or try harder enough. No, no. It's that substitute that goes down in there for me and then all becomes peace. You see that? He's the one that helps. And all my attempts are vain. And they're crying out. You see verse 5? The mariners are afraid and cried every man unto his God. They're crying out, oh, they're crying out to all their gods. Please help me. Fill it in, you know. A Hindu god, a Muslim god. They're just crying out to whatever god. And you know what? There's no help. Reminds you of the scene with Elijah, you know. He says, hey, call out to your God. see if your gods can bring down the fire. See if your gods can do it. And they cut themselves and cried out. You know what? No answer. Just like these mariners,
for these other gods, little g, calling out to their gods, and there's no answer. There's no help. Just like the gods of this world. And when a life of disobedience and sin comes home to roost, and they start calling out to their gods, and the gods of pleasure aren't there to help them. And the god of this world isn't there to get them out. And the god of their own lust isn't there, and their gods of their friends aren't there to help, and the gods of their intellect and science aren't there, and the gods of their money is not there, and the gods of their fame and success aren't there to help, because there is no help outside of the Lord. There is no help. Now, I don't know what you need help with, but there's enough people in here that somebody needs some help. And all the struggle we can go and do, there is help from the Lord that made heaven and earth. And he can help you. But you got to quit working against him. The helplessness in this storm leads me to say something else. Would you drop down to verse 5 again? It's really the last thing I want to say this morning. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down on the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. That fast asleep, you know, that's like sawing log sleep, you know. Right? Not just asleep, fast asleep. Don't you look how the Bible... So verse 6 says, so the shipmaster, take a little note of that, came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Hey, get up, what are you sleeping for? People about to die. That was the shipmaster. The one in charge of the ship. You know what the sad thing is? The sad thing is, while other men that know not our God and know not the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ are on their way to perishing, the majority of God's people are asleep. They're asleep. They're asleep to the person that passes them every day that one day will be their last. And they'll go out into a Christless eternity and perish asleep. You know, when you sleep, I don't know anybody that doesn't like sleep. If you can't sleep, it's a rough life, isn't it? You know what sleep is? Sleep is a comfort, isn't it? I mean, especially guys, you know, guys, when you have a hard day's work and you go in and you just, you just lay down and you go to sleep. What comfort? Jonah was more interested in his comfort than this storm that was going to cause these people to perish. Well, I belong to God. What do I care? I know God. What do I care? What about all these people on this boat that are going to die and go to hell? Why aren't you interested in their soul? Why are you so, can I say the word, insensitive, which is really overdone today. But you know what is really insensitive? You sleeping while somebody's dying. That's insensitive. You enjoying your peaceful rest while someone is in danger to lose their life. And the simple truth is, he didn't care. He did not care about these mariners. He didn't care where they went. He didn't care about the eternity. He didn't care about their families. He didn't care about their children. He was asleep. And the truth is that all around this world, there's somebody's mom and somebody's dad and somebody's child. All around this world, there are people just like you that don't know about our God and doesn't know about our Christ, doesn't know about our Bible, doesn't know about our salvation. And we have the command from God to take the Word of God into all the world and preach them that good news, because if they don't hear it, they're going to perish. And the majority of born-again people are in their boat. That's just true. And Missions Conference is an attempt for me to say, God, I don't want to be asleep. I want to be involved. I want to help rescue the perishing and care for the dying. I want to let them know about you instead of just enjoy my rest. Guys, there's plenty of time to rest in heaven. I mean, we'll kick our feet, our shoes off our feet, amen, if we have them in heaven. I don't know what we do not, but I mean, by the river, amen, and by the street of gold, and enjoy rest with the Lord forever and ever, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the time for rest, but now is the time not to sleep while the world goes to hell. It's just not the time to go to sleep. And the master says, why are you asleep? Why are you asleep from my presence? You know, when you're asleep, you don't even know what's going on. Hey, man, I remember as a kid, they'll testify of it. When I was a kid, there's a tornado that came right through our yard. I mean, knocked the tree over, all that, basically. And I slept through the whole thing. I mean, they pulled me out, you know, and put me in the hall and did all that stuff. I didn't remember any of it. I was unaware totally of the storm. You know why? I was asleep. I didn't know what was going on. You know, I think sometimes maybe God's people are so far away from the presence of God and they're not even aware of it because they're asleep. It's been so long since they've been in the presence of God and been in fellowship with God, and it doesn't bother them. They're unaware that they're so far away from God. Jonah is not a heathen. Jonah is the best God's got. But he's asleep. He is asleep from the presence of God. He is asleep from the commandment of God. Okay, God told me something to do. You see that? He's asleep to his own sin. You'd think he'd be aware. Man, I told God to take a hike. You know, I do what I want to do. I'm bothered about it. No, he's just... How many people, they're not bothered about their disobedience to God. They're not sensitive to that. They're totally insensitive because they're asleep. They're insensitive to the danger. So many people have danger right on their front porch and they're asleep while it's right there. We had an instance just the other day at the church, and didn't know it till late. Somebody came in and went out and came in and went out, and there probably was some danger there. But you know what the truth was? We were all oblivious to it, except one person. Now everybody's listening to me. Do you know how many real dangerous things can approach your life? And if you are asleep, you never know it's coming. Jonah's about to die, and he's just sawing logs while everybody else is urgent. You see, verse 7, they said everyone to his fellow, come. They're just running around the ship. What can we do? They have urgency about the fact the ship's going down. And there's one that doesn't have a care in the world. And the shipmaster comes and says, aren't you going to pray? You see that? I'm finished. Verse 6, shipmaster came and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Aren't you going to pray? Church, aren't we going to pray? Aren't we going to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest field? Aren't we going to pray, God, what wilt thou have me to do about my faith promise, about my witness, about my neighbors, about my family? Aren't we going to pray? I tell you what, it's really sad when the pagans are praying and the man of God's not praying. It's pretty sad when somebody has to go to the one that has the answer and says, won't you wake up and pray? Oh, how many times are the disciples sleeping in Gethsemane when they need to be praying and souls are in the balance? Somebody going to pray for those going to Uganda? Somebody going to pray for those going to Ethiopia? Somebody going to pray for those on our list? They're going to Belgium and going. Somebody going to pray? Don't we care? Or are we just going to sleep it away and say, well, I know God. I fear God. While we're asleep, wake up. Wake up. Wake up to the need of your life and the need of the world. Wake up. Arise, O sleeper. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.